You are listening to Sci-Fi Party Line. This show may contain spoilers and strong language.
We're burning good stuff for the podcast.
Okay.
Maybe you'll edit it out here. Later.
If you're, let's hope you're not a stripper or a terrorist. And
no.
Okay, maybe a stripper, but not a terrorist.
No.
Okay. Let me do this right quick, and I probably
legally. I think we're okay at that. Yeah, I think we're okay.
Okay.
Hello, guys, and welcome to the Sci-Fi Party Line, episode number 4. This episode contains spoilers and maybe some strong language, depending on how much BSG has pissed us off. I am your hostess, Kat, also known as Fancy Fembot. Today's episode covers, of course, Battlestar Galactica. The episode is Disquiet Follows My Soul. And I am joined by Will Silver, and I met him on Twitter, and we've been yakking away at each other. Introduce yourself, Will.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Kat. How you doing today?
I'm awesome.
That's cool. Yeah. The reason I wanted to bring up my credentials is I do special effects.
Awesome.
And I haven't done it totally professionally yet, but I'm currently working on a Star Wars fan film.
Oh,
Star Wars. Yeah. Doug Mantee and George Muse and I, along with, I shouldn't say and me, yes, it's just the three of us. No, it's me and a bunch of other people are working on that, James Hillett, and it's just amazing stuff, and we're doing some really good stuff.
Sweet. Do you have a website where we can see anything just yet?
I don't think we have anything. We do have some stuff up. I'm going to have to look into that in a second. I'll get that for you later.
Okay,
but,
good.
So that's that. But it's just, I wanted to, because I'm sitting here listening to you last week, T. And, all right. This is my point. My point of view was, she's like, I'm so pissed off at the episode. And the other gentleman whose name is escaping me at the moment.
Phineas.
Yeah. I love Phineas. but He was mostly ragging on the show, and I think some you jumped in. You go, well, this happened, and I was like, well, dude, that didn't happen. I know, I write screenplays. I know how people do this. I know that T's a writer as well. But
yeah, well, I think we were all freshly pissed off. And we just really didn't.
What?
We just, this episode ended, D died, and we started just yapping. And I think that's really what you got, because we were really fresh off of the D dying. And I think if you go back and watch the episode again, the first premiere, that you can see how it was a good episode after that particular initial shock.
Well, yeah. I'll give you that. But, I did like the episode. I've liked the first episode a lot. This episode, not as much, but I did like it.
Okay.
But it seems to me that it was kind of, we're here, here's a shock, here's a shock. Okay, the planet's effed. Or can I say?
Yeah. We could do what we want here.
We do. It's okay. America. Okay, it's fucked. Okay. Just. Well, pardon me, fracked. Pardon me.
Right, you should use fracked.
It's a proper effort. Plants fracked, we're fracked, Tara's fracked, and look, he's dead. Yay. It's like, oh my God. And you're right, it was like clinically depressing. It was like, oh my God.
No wonder they were showing those antidepressant pills commercials.
Yes, I know.
Goodness.
It's, the one thing that T said, which I thought was interesting, was, well, this is obviously, from the writer's strike, and I don't know what they were speeding up or doing stuff. And I'm like, dude, they've shot this a year ago, or like 9 months. The most amount of time between shooting an episode and having it put on the air ever. And they're done. They finished this, I believe, in June of last year. All the episodes, everything.
Which means there was no excuse for it to feel rushed, because I feel like they just like had a kitchen sink and just took everything and put it in it, or threw out the. I forget the reference, whatever. But they just threw a whole bunch of stuff into that episode. It was a little overwhelming.
No, I agree with you. It was good writing.
It just seems like they hate the characters a lot. I mean, this particular last episode, I had to watch it drunk. I was so tipsy.
Was that Ron's fault, really? Honestly?
I'm going to blame Ron and David for my alcohol problems. Yes, I will do that. The alcohol problem that happens once every 3 months.
Can I throw another person who you can blame your alcoholism on?
Okay.
That's sci-fi. See, I don't... My whole thing is...
You shut your mouth about the sci-fi channel. You just do it because they love us. No, I'm kidding. So how is it sci-fi? I mean, what do they have...
This is my point. It was my point when they said, this is the last season. Right. I'm like, okay, it's the last season. And then it was like, and we're splitting the two parts of the last season, which should have been done, in August.
Right.
Into early 09, and it's like, no, you can't do that. If you want two seasons, pay for two seasons. Mm. You can't take one season, cut it in half, and then you get two seasons out of it. No, it doesn't happen that way. Or if you wanted to say it's a 13 episode season, I'm okay with that. But you have to give the parameters to Ron and the production company and say, okay, this is going to be that. It's going to be 13 episodes long. And they figure, okay, well, let's structure it for 13 episodes. Then you get a really intense, really cool, amazing 13 episodes, and then there's another 13 episodes. I think this start again, stop again kind of a feel to the show is literally because they said, oh, let's cut it in half. Oh, let's do this. Oh, let's do that. And Ron is sitting there going, okay, we can do that. And it kind of throws everybody off. It's like, well, we should do – well, no, we can't do that. Well, maybe – and it's not that, they feel intensely about something, but you're basically getting the highlights out of these people's lives that are all bad. You don't really get too many good, except for
isn't that the way?
Rosalind and Adama get busy this week, but
with
still,
her ball headed,
it's not.
That was just weird. I just thought, okay, they really hate the characters, but I'm glad they finally. But it was just like, what are we watching?
It was all people getting busy. That's what it was. That's what you're saying. It's old people getting busy. And it was ugly, and it wasn't good on the outside.
No,
like, it was free. I think it was pretty good on the inside.
Okay. Well, I didn't think it... I mean, because I'm not, a spring chicken or anything, so I don't think it was that. I'm not ageist or anything. It was just a weird... It's a weird scene, and I did have a WTF. I'm glad they took as long to have sex as Mulder and Scully. I'm glad they finally got it out of the way because they really loved each other. But the scene and how it was just, I don't know.
No, I actually liked that scene. I liked how it was structured. I liked internally for the characters. It was very, like you say, them getting together was really important for the characters. But I also liked the fact that as they're having fun, as they're, Rome is burning while they're fiddling, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it was totally Antony and Cleopatra.
Yeah, that concept of it, the totally getting, entirely nailing, what's his name? I do this all the time. I'm going to say Apollo, but I'm wrong. I mean,
William?
Richard Hatch.
Oh, Richard Hatch. His character. Oh, man, he is cranky
nailing
now.
Him. Nailing him to the wall. He's the biggest asshole he ever was, which I love.
I know.
Actually, he was good.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But do we fault him?
But, really?
I mean, because he kind of looks like the bad guy because he's going up against our, hero, Adama. But Adama is drunk all the time. Rosalind's dying of cancer. He seems to like, why do we have an alliance with the Cylons? Why do we even care? They're powerless, really. Or not
well,
exactly,
I think-
but... These people are crazy. These are robots are crazy.
They are crazy.
Did you watch the webisodes?
Watched the webisodes.
Well, Sharon, she went totally crazy. She was killing everybody, and they really have this thing.
Wait a minute, which was that exactly? I lost track of that. That wasn't the original Sharon, was it? It was just a Sharon.
It was a Sharon. Right. It was just some
number
random,
five.
Yeah, it was just some. No, I think she was an eight.
Eight. Okay. Yeah, I think she's an eight. So, but you know, it's like that's really weird because it's like these people are fucked. You know, she killed a Cylon. She killed three humans. Oh, what? No problem. Why? So we can survive.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
A little bit of a problem with that.
That's a huge problem, and I do understand why Gate is all, you know, revolutionary now. But it seems a little bit much with his character, and I think he has some big balls going after Starbuck the way he did in the mess hall or wherever they were. You know, like how does he go to Starbuck and say, "I'm questioning your loyalty," when he's, you know, on Caprica doing underhanded stuff and killing folks, and Gate is a little selfish, and I don't see how
Felix, yeah, AJ is the guy's name, mm-hmm. The actress.
Oh yeah, the actress hot.
Very good. Oh, this is very good. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But I will say that he's a damn good actor. He's very good.
Yeah, he is.
Because, you know, and the other thing is he's in pain. He's playing him that he's aggravated, pissed off, mad, and in pain at the same time. So it's like,
well, he's not in too much pain. He's taking those drugs. He should be really relaxed, honestly. He should not have a care in the world.
I think it's like it's morphine basically. It's like, you know, liquid joy, but I don't think he's taken as much as he was originally, cuz that you know fucks at your brain or something.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's just crazy.
He might be, but it's like the Cylons are okay then, right? No, the Cylons are crazy. Well, then Adama must be. No, actually Bill is a little over the edge there.
Yeah, he's
so
drunk.
who's the sane one? Who's the
Tom Zarek?
I like that aspect of the show.
Yeah. That is true. Yeah.
I don't trust Tom Zarek was and always shall be a politician.
Ah, yeah.
And as much as you like a politician, he's still a politician. You know, there are aspects to that that you go,
who can we trust? Lee Adama, he's like a whiny, feel-good Dawson's Creek guy. I can't do Lee Adama.
Lee Adama on Monster Street. That sounds good. That's funny. One of the only characters, I think, one of the only characters who's been destructive to herself but hasn't taken that, you know, taken from her, from, you know, gone crazy, as it were, is Starbuck.
Mm-hmm.
It's Kara. Mm-hmm. Because she is... she's kind of a post, you know, she's kind of a, I'm centered, you know, and I'm doing this. I don't care what the frack's going on around me, and I don't care what the frack is going to happen to me, but this is going to get me, you know, I'm doing this because this is my destiny. This is what I'm looking for.
And that's the scary part if Kara Thrace is the most stable person in the fleet.
it's a little, you know, it's a little off on the stability, but still.
What do you think about Ty and Caprica's baby? It's going to be the first Cylon on Cylon baby.
I don't know that that's actually going to be what it is.
What?
Literally.
Huh.
Because, I mean, we went through the whole, I mean, I you know, I don't want to say, hey, I saw about that, like, when it was happening, but I did. Mm. I did. The whole thing with Callie and Tyrell's baby.
Oh, yeah, that's not
being Callie and another human. I figured that out, like...
You did?
Oh, four episodes in, I went. Like, maybe three episodes after they revealed the Cylons, I went, oh, jeez. Well, that means that baby's it's a Cylon human baby, too. Wait a minute. Maybe it isn't. Maybe she did something, you know, untoward. And
oh,
I was like,
I never...
yeah, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
That never crossed my mind.
I know, it was a whole shift, because remember, she was like, she was against him, she didn't really do much, and then boom, she's married to him.
That is true.
There was the year jump, but still. And I went, wait a minute, that's, what does that mean? What's that unfold?
Mm.
And, Yeah, hot dog.
That's a little weird, but it's like, not only did they airlock the chick, even in death, she's... I didn't like her to begin with, really, but she grew on me because she had the baby and blah, blah, blah. Then they airlocked her, and then we found out she was getting some on the side on Chief, who did not really want to be married to her in the first place. That's weird.
Well, Chief also beat the shit out of her, too.
And, yeah.
So let's not... It wasn't like a one-sided thing. Yeah.
Well, that was the one time. Like, yeah. That was the one time.
Yeah, one time. Right. Yeah, well, no, because... You beat the fuck out of a woman.
He went crazy. It wasn't like he was, you know, it was a thing he was.
Oh, did you see her? He's looking away from her. He's spitting on her face. I mean, no, that was not a good thing.
I doubt something went crazy. He went crazy or something. Or something was wrong with him. Or I don't know. I forgot. It's been so long. But yeah, he did.
It's been 7 years.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it's been that long.
I'm sorry, what?
I said, I can't believe it's been that long.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Ugh. So what's this about the Baltar and his, what the hell is he doing? I can't even.
Yeah, Baltar, now it was the God is love, God is beauty, God is great. And now it's like,
screw God.
It's not your fault.
It's God's fault.
And screw God. Yes, exactly. Screw God. Which I thought was an interesting point of view.
why? He's a scientist. He was a scientist. And now he's some zealot. And people listen to him.
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
I don't get it.
It's a cult of personality. It's kind of a... I would not put it beyond him to have a mass suicide thing happening. I mean, seriously. I mean, this show is screwed up.
Understatement of the year.
Well, thank you. Yeah. But the thing is that this isn't kind of like you get in a car, you go in the station wagon, you drive to Wally World, and it's closed.
Oh.
This is like you're trying to find a place to live, to exist. You get there, and it's like, we can't stop here because it's a nuclear pile of crap.
Yeah, and not only that, it had some sort of religious hope attached to it. You know, it had some hope attached to it. So I'm just like thinking, okay, guys, let's get over it. Let's find another planet. Let's rename it Earth. Let's move on, or whatever we're going to do.
That's not even it, because if they're like, well, we came here. We went through everything. We got to here. And now it's not one thing like what you said. So it's entirely.
Well, how were they supposed to know that? I mean, they can. I get that, but dude, you can't stay on those ships forever. Y'all are going. Y'all have space madness, and y'all need to.
Well, the other thing is, they got screwed once before
on the planet.
They went down to New Caprica.
Indeed.
Yeah, they go to New Caprica. They're like, hey, everything's great, except we can grow anything. It's gray. Everything is, got a 30% filter on the top, and we can't really see anything. It was, it was terrible.
That's
really
because they had
awfully
the,
bad.
Well, terrible. It's because the Cylons were there, and they were trying to run crap. I think if.
It was bad before. No. I honestly think they were at that point before the Cylons get there. The Cylons just made it absolutely work. You know what I'm saying? I was like, and there are Cylons too? No! It was that kind of an idea. But I definitely think that if you look at the show, the way it's evolving, it's, well, you laugh. The way it's okay, let's say going forward, then it might be devolving. But I don't think the last episode is the Colonial Warrior with the helmet under his arm looking out over the green.
It's not going to be a happy ending.
The planet underneath him. Oh. I don't think so necessarily. I mean, he could. I'm not saying
Ron Moore and David, they don't want that. They're not going to do that for this. They're not going to be nice to us. They're going to do something. They're going to mess with our brains. They're going to laugh, and then they're going to make Caprica and mess with us some more. And we're going to watch it because we can't stop.
I don't know. See, my whole thing is I like the show. Because it has real people. It's not, things aren't solved in an hour or in an or in a season or in a forever.
That is true, and that is why I like it.
Yeah, they take on the big questions. I absolutely love it. I have to say that the whole thing with Rosalind is they're doing it very intelligently and very well and very real for me. My father, he died 2 years ago of cancer. Mm-hmm. And there was a point in his recovery where we were like, he's going to go. He's going to go. He's just gone. Yeah. And we know it, and it's going to happen, and we don't like it. My sister and I, we were talking about it, and we're like, oh, God. Yeah. And then this new drug came in. Mm-hmm. And they gave him the drug, and it suppressed his viral load, and he was very, very, very much better, and he got out, and he started driving his car again, which he hadn't done in 3 years. And, you know, he got better. Mm-hmm. And it was miraculous.
Yeah.
And then he didn't. Yeah. You know, it wouldn't work anymore, and he died because of it. And,
that
you
sucks.
Know, it is, they're at the middle bit now. Mm-hmm. And I know it's going to happen because, you know, as I'm watching Rosalind, mm-hmm. you know, and with the chemo and with, you know, everything not working, it was weird because, you know, the whole injection of the Cylon blood, which gave her, you know, renewed her.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. It was very much like that.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's very, yeah, it's weird. But, I mean, the reason it does, you know, and that happens is that they look at it and they go, oh, here's an element we should put in a story. The, you know, the point where the person who's very ill gets seems to be getting well.
That is, I had an aunt that went through that, and it was the same stages. And so, yeah, I totally,
yeah,
you know, understand that. But I didn't have, like, I didn't live with her a long time or anything to see the specific stages. But from your perspective, that is a very good observation of what's going on in that story. And from that perspective, that is touching and good, and it's awesome that they would put that in there so that
exactly,
people could
exactly.
relate.
Exactly. And it's the thing that they don't, I mean, it could work like Stargate, you know, like the magic sarcophagi
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Right.
But it's like, no, it doesn't work like Stargate because Stargate's a fantasy story and this is a realistic story.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, yeah, spaceships, rockets, you know, repulsor rays, blasters, all that shit. Great. But on top of that, this happens to real people
okay.
in this fantasy setting.
Yeah.
It's different from the Stargate franchise, if I may use the F word once again. Hate the word franchise. Do not
yeah.
say it's a franchise. Don't say it's part of a franchise. Don't say I'm part of a franchise. Never, ever, 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 ever,
I do
ever
hate that,
say that.
Because when they call Star Trek a franchise, I think McDonald's. You know, and
yeah, exactly.
I don't like
yes.
that.
And where can I get mine? Can I get money off of it? Yeah. It doesn't make sense. But it's, you know, it's like, yes, we'll make money off of this the day we die.
Yeah.
No, not for me.
Well,
That's why I don't tend, when I do things, I don't tend to buy t-shirts
yeah.
or posters.
Well,
let me
go ahead and make this
things.
Announcement now that the funny t-shirt thing, that's over. That's old. Wear real shirt now, guys. That's over. Don't do it, please, for the
well,
love of
I like
God.
I will speak out for the funny t-shirt, if I may. But I like the variation, you know, like the evolution of the Empire. It's like, you know, it's Star Troopers, and it goes up to the walking, the AT-AT and all that.
Yeah.
And I like that. That's cool stuff.
Oh, yeah,
that's,
that is
you know,
a good shirt. Yeah, that's a good
it's
one.
It's like the fact, oh, we're just... We, you know, we've got this guy who's in this show, who's got this back history, who we make these toys of, who we make these posters of, who we make these mugs of, and you just buy all that shit and make us billions of dollars.
I'm guilty of that. I will buy an action figure in a minute and keep it in the box, but I'll buy it.
If you're not playing with your toys, what the hell are you doing with your
I'm
toys?
Looking at them. You don't have to play. I'm a grown woman. I don't play with toys. I can look at them.
I've got... Well, yeah, you know, it's like, you know, Speed Racer comes out, and it's a Hot Wheels Speed Racer. My God, I've wanted this since I was six.
Yeah. You
know? Oh, what did I do? I went up, got Speed Racer, I get this, I get the Mach 5, I get the Mach 4, I get the Mach 6, I get the Silver Star, which is the name of, Shooting Star, pardon me, which is the name of Racer X's car.
Oh, my God.
So I got that. I'm like, what did I do? I put them out on my thing. Like, they're out there. I drive them around a little bit. Not, I don't play them for hours on end. I have fun with them. I get a Wally.
Oh, my God.
Same deal.
Yeah.
Same deal. Because it's a cool. Look, it's Wally. It's a cool toy. You have to be ready for that. But it's just the concept of go out and spend millions of dollars on our stuff. It's like, nah, not really. Not gonna. I'm gonna go after. I'll get the thing. I'll get like the book that you made, or maybe the comic, or the movie, whatever it is. And I might collect that, you know, a series of that. But I don't collect comics anymore. I used to when I was very young. But I don't collect comics. I usually get them or get them in a collection because I don't read comics.
Right.
I don't care about.
You know, speaking of franchises and buying stuff, I got a text message from Sci-Fi that they're having like this huge Battlestar Galactica sale. So there's their franchise at work.
Way to tie it back in, Kat. Oh my gosh. The other thing I was going to talk about T and all your people. You were talking. He was talking about the last episode being written after the strike, but. Case in point, that was the last episode after the fall episode. It was the last episode written before the strike.
Oh, and but maybe they felt the strike coming.
How would I know this?
How do you know this? I don't know. You have to be an insider.
Because Ron Moore told me.
Oh, man.
Ron Moore told me. No, seriously, I listen to the Enhanced podcasts.
You do.
There's the if you go on the Sci-Fi website and look in the full episode section, there are enhanced versions of the episodes with narration, you know, the narration by Ron Moore. Uh-huh. And Mrs. Ron is in this one this week.
Uh-oh.
Which is, she's cool. She's good. I like her. She's good because she keeps them honest, which is important.
That's awesome. I've been threatening to listen to those, or watch those with the
enhanced. Oh, you have to listen to those because they have really good parts to them. There was, they had, two summers ago, anyways, they had two series of episodes that were writers' meeting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
6 hours, 2 hours per episode, roughly. Like, not me, hour 48, hour 20.
Right.
But they're talking about how things work and how they don't work. And it's fascinating. To be literally in the room while this is going on.
Well, that's good if you want to listen to it. Sometimes I just want to enjoy the show without all of the back explanation. I want the show to stand on its own without them explaining to me why this is this and that and that. I just want to watch the show and let it stand on its own sometimes without having it. Because I know if they explain it, I'll be like, oh my God, that was awesome. But sometimes I just want to look at it for what it is and say, come on guys, what was that? You know, and if they explain it away, then I feel like, I don't know.
Well, okay. Yes. I know what you're saying. I hear you. But, they explain things like, the guy who was Rosalind's assistant, the other one,
not Tori.
Billy. They had to kill him off because he got another job. So they actually said, well, they had to get another job. He got another job, so we had to kill him off so he could go and do the other job. And it was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I think, yeah.
Oh, okay. I guess that's good.
It explained it away, but explained what happened. And the other thing about it is that I think that when you look at these episodes and the whys aren't necessarily story-based or plot-based or concepts. Sometimes somebody falls down and gets hurt. Somebody gets, you know, a job offer. Somebody declines to do the role again or can't because they have another commitment.
Right.
And it's just like, it's like, and then we had to do this big elaborate stuff because that happened. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, yeah. The weird thing about this is, and I think a lot of my when I sit down and we talk about stuff like this with my friends, I get this whole, well, wouldn't it be great if you could have Spider-Man and Batman in the movie and they could fight each other? Like, yeah, except for one thing. Like, okay, Warner Brothers and DC, or DC and Marvel come to the table. It's like, who wins?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, you know, you have to look at all the servers. You have to look at the Batman's stuff and Spider-Man's. No. I'm not talking about who in reality would win in a fight. I'm like, who? You sit down at this table.
And these, we don't want to think about that.
No, but it's like, you have to, I think.
Oh, because goodness.
That's the reality of it.
Yeah,
that's the point.
But it's all a fantasy. We really don't want to do reality, man. That's what we're trying to escape from when we watch science fiction.
I understand that.
No, I get you. I understand you. I understand. That's hilarious.
But it's like there's a reality to it. Yeah. There is a concept that Batman. Some writer was talking about Batman. And in the movie, one of the pieces in the movie, the guy hits him across the back with a baseball bat, cracks the bat,
mm-hmm.
and he's stunned. This is in the script, he's stunned.
Mm-hmm.
He got a note back on it saying, Batman isn't stunned by being hit by a bat. And he's like, if I get up behind you and hit you with a bat, mm-hmm. you would be stunned.
Well, that's Batman.
But he's Batman. It's like, no, he isn't Batman. He's not superhuman. He's human. You know, and people don't get it. You know, but it's Batman, because we can't have that happen in the show with Batman.
I think you can't have it happen either. So I agree. He's Batman. What are you talking about?
But see, I like the fact that, again, it's reality versus fantasy.
Yeah.
A lot of these sci-fi shows, if you want me to put it that way, are fantasy. They're not predominantly science.
Oh, no.
They're fantasy in a scientific setting.
Right.
As opposed to Battlestar Galactica, which is science fiction. Mm. There's fiction that takes place in a scientific realm. It's different. What? It's different from, just the fact that they've had to place, real sounds of stuff in space. They've pretty much gotten away from
that. Yeah.
Yeah, but they've done it the right way.
They've
done it, chatter in the helmets and vibrations from the ships. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it does.
But that's a good way to do it,
because they don't want to hear his lip talking them about that. That's all.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's like Star Trek. Mm-hmm. Every ship in Star Trek, or at least until very recently, I don't know about the last movie or so, but travel from left to right in a flat plane.
Yes.
Literally. If you watch the shows.
I know.
Left, right. That's every time.
I know.
But it's, hello, three-dimensional space.
I get it.
You can approach a planet, you can orbit a planet not at the equator. You can go pole too.
Yeah. Hey, they're just doing. Leave them alone. Let them do it the way they want to. Well,
That's it. I mean, but that's why, and that's that's one of the reasons I like Battlestar Galactica. That's one of the reasons that I think the work that Ron Moore has done. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ron Moore, Ron Moore. It's like Ron Moore's one. He's the one guy. He wrote every line, every word.
Right.
It's all him.
It's a collective Ron Moore.
The company of Ron Moore and Dave Vitale.
That's what I mean when I
all the rest of them. Yeah.
Well, did you see? Because I wasn't sober enough to have seen what was going to was going to happen next week. So what?
No, I get a special feed in the BitTardis. So I actually see the end of the episode. I saw, the thing, but I didn't see the credits.
Ah, okay. Well, I saw it. I knew, because I was watching it live. So I saw something, but I don't know what. But next week, We'll be back with, maybe you'll be back next week if you want to rant, but I'll...
I will. I'm here to rant.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and end the show. Do you have another website you want to plug, or anywhere that people can find you on the internet if they want to chat you up?
I'm available at InterBroadWavesExtreme at blogspot.com.
Okay.
So it's InterBroad, B-R-O-A-D, W-A-V-E-S-E-X-T-R-E-M-E .blogspot.com.
Cool. And what
and
is
that
your...
is my stuff. And the Star Wars film, The Forgotten, mm-hmm. that I'm working on with a ton of great people. Like I said, Douglas Fante and George Muse are... Douglas is the producer, director, and writer, and George is a very, very good and very, very interesting man. He was the guy who's a motion control mm-hmm. cameraman on The Abyss, and Flight of the Navigator.
Oh my goodness!
And he's got he's just got some great stories. He's very, very a good guy to talk about. And he's working on the film with me as well, mm-hmm. and it's just amazing. And there's at least 30 or 40 other people,
awesome.
Compositors, 3D people, which is great. And that's available at swtheforgotten.com.
Awesome. I will put links to those in our show notes so people can
easily find it. And if anybody wants to get a hold of me, you can. It's lw3d.will@gmail.com.
And what is your Twitter handle?
My Twitter is lwwill.
Okay.
Underscore will.
So LW.
Which they don't have in...
Underscore.
They don't have the underscore. You can't use the underscore in Gmail, which I don't like.
Oh, yeah. They got to use periods.
Which is bizarre, at least.
Yeah. Let them do it their way. Well, I really, really thank you. I really, really thank you, Will, for joining me today.
This has been fabulous.
It was awesome. Awesome. Totally
it's
awesome.
Amazing.
Maybe I'll get you and T next week so y'all can fight it out. Nerd fight.
Okay. The clothes may come off. You know, I don't know. I'll practice my backwards skate this week, but I don't know.
And that's the show. Thanks for listening. To comment on the show, go to scifipartyline.com or email me at fancyfembot@gmail.com. To leave your thoughts via voicemail, give me a call at 206-203-2289. If you want to join in the next episode or have a show that you want to talk about, just find me under the username of FancyFembot on Skype, Twitter, MySpace, or Facebook, or just go to fancyfembot.com. You can also find this podcast on iTunes. Again, thanks for listening, and see you at the party next time.